Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, which was our second scripture reading. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. And our subject this morning is the way of the Lord. Now these words that we shall consider this morning form part of a tremendous prayer of David. That is how this psalm is entitled at the very start, Psalm 86, a prayer of David. And of course, because it is a prayer, we know exactly who David is speaking to. He is addressing his Lord, his God, and our God. It is a prayer of David. And although prayer is not specifically our subject this morning, there is much we could learn from this psalm on how to pray. When we look at these words, see that it is a tremendous prayer of praise. Of that there is no doubt. Tremendous praise. We look at verse 8, for example. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. David is most surely praising his God. This God cannot be compared to any other gods. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, says David. Cannot be compared with any other gods, any other religion. David knows that this is the only God who can hear his prayer. This is the only God who can answer his prayer. Indeed, this is the only true God. And he says so much in verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He is the only God. And this is a vital component when we come to the Lord in prayer. We must praise God and acknowledge that he is the only true and living God. That's how we pray. There's no other God we could pray to. We come and we pray because we know he's the only one who hears us and who can answer us and bless us. And also this is a prayer for help. In verse 14, David says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul. The proud have risen against me. He has enemies against him, and groups of violent men are assembled against him. Perhaps this is a time of war in David's life. We're not entirely sure. A time of conflict, perhaps. But he is certainly fearful when he considers his enemies, and so he calls upon the Lord for help. He calls upon the Lord. He depends entirely upon God, not upon himself. Verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant. He's entirely dependent upon God. That's how we come when we pray to God. We confess our utter weakness. We confess that we don't have any strength. We must have the strength of God. Lord, lend me thy strength. That's how we pray, confessing our weakness and depending entirely upon God and trusting that he will help us when we cry unto him. So this is a tremendous pattern for prayer. And perhaps afterwards you can read it by itself. But our focus this morning is verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. So David wants to walk in the way of the Lord. He wants to be shown the Lord's way. He wants to live his life in a way that is pleasing to God. But he understands that this is a way that has to be taught to him. Teach me thy way. He must be taught this way. This way does not come naturally to him. The way of the Lord does not come naturally to him. He has to be taught this way. And of course, that's not only true of David. That's true of every single one of us. The way of the Lord, the Lord's way, does not come naturally to man. We have to be taught it, taught the way of the Lord. It is not in our nature to follow the way of the Lord. The nature of man, the nature of all of us, is to follow our own way. That's our nature. To follow our own way, to choose our own way, not the way of the Lord. Our natural inclination is to go the way that we want to go. Isn't this the case? We always naturally want to live the way we want to live. We want to be the way we want to be. We are the ones who decide what will happen in our lives, our careers, our hobbies, our goals, our ambitions. It's all up to us. Our way, that's our natural inclination. That is the way we choose by nature. We do not choose the way of the Lord. And in fact, well, adding to that, we are by nature resistant to the way of the Lord. We're resistant to the Lord's way. You go and speak to anybody, or the vast majority of people, about God. You try to speak to them about God and about following God. The vast majority of the time, people are not interested. People get so defensive, so touchy. They don't want to hear a single word about following God. Because naturally, we're resistant. We don't want to follow God's way. We're reluctant to do that. And indeed, well, the Bible puts it in these terms. We're rebellious. We are born rebels against God. That is our nature. We want to rebel against God and against the way that he has shown us. We don't want to go his way, the way that he wants us to live. So we're very resistant against this way. And this is why David says we must be taught. Teach me thy way, O Lord. How are we taught the way of the Lord? Well, we considered this in some measure last week. We're taught the way of the Lord through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, through the Bible, through the preaching of the Bible, through the reading of the Bible. That is how we know how to walk in the way of the Lord. That is how we are taught how to follow Him. But I must say this, there's no point, or very little point, in coming to a church service, in hearing the preaching, or in reading the Word of God, if you are not willing to be taught. Are you teachable? Are you a teachable person? Do you want the Lord to actually teach you His way? We have to be teachable. Some people, they come into a church and they're not teachable. They come in with very stubborn hearts and hard hearts, and they think to themselves, oh, anything that I hear in this service, anything that the preacher says, oh, well, it's not really going to affect me. I know much better than that person. I know much better about life and about the world. The Bible can't teach me anything that I don't already know. Is that anybody here? You have to be teachable. If we are to follow the way of the Lord, we have to humble ourselves before God and before the Word of God, much like a child humbles himself, or a pupil in a school. A school child, well, he goes into a classroom to be taught. He knows and he acknowledges that the teacher is there to teach him something. The teacher knows better than he does. So we must listen to the teacher and learn and be taught. That's how you approach the Word of God. You don't approach it with a proud spirit. I must be taught. God knows far better than I do. So teach me, Lord. Teach me the way of God. Teach me those things that I previously do not know. And that is the way that we are taught of God. That is the way the Lord has decreed to teach us. So we must have that spirit here, even this morning. I hope you all do. But the Bible, it teaches us some difficult things. We have to be teachable because the Bible teaches us very difficult things. Are you willing to learn hard things about yourself? Are you willing to learn hard things about yourself? Again, our nature recoils when faced with the prospect of learning difficult things about ourselves. We get uncomfortable. We like to be told good things about ourselves. We like to be flattered. Even if the flattery is not true, even if the compliment is not true, we like to hear good things about ourselves. We like to hear compliments. But you know, the Word of God is very different. The Word of God teaches us the truth about ourselves. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. This is not false flattery when we come to the Bible. The Bible teaches us the truth. It doesn't flatter us in a dishonest way. It shows us the true picture of who we really are. It teaches us about our sin, that which we never like to think about. Our sin. Now, we've already spoken about our rebellious nature against God's way. But why are we rebellious? Why are we rebellious against God's word and against God's way? It's because we are sinners. That is a sign of our sin. We don't want to go the way of the Lord because we are sinners. And the Bible teaches us that. It doesn't flatter us and give us lies to cover up our sins. It teaches us the truth about ourselves. The rejection of God is a great sin. And, well, by the way, because we reject God, which is the greatest sin, it gives rise to many other sins. And we constantly say this in this place. We live in a world that is so troubled with so many different things, with so many evils. A society that is full of unrest, full of moral confusion, crime and wickedness and terror and fear. It's such a fearful world that we live in. Why has this happened? Why is the world like this, this society? Well, because generally speaking, we have rejected God. We've thrown God out. Hardly anyone believes in God anymore now. Hardly anyone goes to church anymore now. And this is the result. We have more crime. We have more wickedness and terror and fear. We have more sin because people have turned away from God and turned away from his word. And that's what happens. But it's not just in society. We look at ourselves. The more we as individuals reject God or disobey him, the more we reject God, the worse our own sins become. We don't get better and better. We get worse and worse. The longer we live without God, the more selfish we become. As people, everything becomes about us. The more bitter we become, the older we get and our youth fades, we become more bitter. The angrier we become, or perhaps more proud, our passions rule our lives, our lusts and so forth. Even depression and despair. You know, when we have all these times of depression, and it's rife nowadays, even amongst the young. When you don't have the Lord in your life, there is a great emptiness, a great sense of emptiness and loss and lack of purpose when you don't have God in your life. But it's our own fault because we have rejected God and we have rejected his way. We have to examine ourselves. We have to see the truth about ourselves. Now, of course, this is not a popular view. This is not a popular thing that I am saying. But, this is something we can say about the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is not a popular way. The way of the Lord is an unpopular way. Most people reject it. The Bible says that the way of the Lord is a narrow way. It's a narrow way. Few people take it. Most people take the wide way, which is the way that leads to sin and for themselves. Most choose to live without God. That's the popular way. But the way of the Lord is a narrow way. Well, what way will you choose? What way will you choose? Have you chosen yet? There may be some people who haven't chosen the way that they must go. But you must. Look at verse 11 again. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Well, what do those words mean? Unite my heart. Well, it seems that David has, in some sense, a divided heart, a conflict within. And that's very common, to have a conflict. Is there a conflict within you? A conflict. Perhaps there are divided hearts amongst you. Part of you, part of your heart wants to stick to the old way, to your way, the way that you've always gone. Perhaps you like your way. Perhaps you like your sins and you don't want to part from them. Part of your heart wants to keep going the way I've always gone. But then there's another part of your heart that wants to know the Lord, that wants to live in truth, that wants to truly follow Him and to love Him and to embrace Him. Do you have a divided heart? Well, if that's you, you have to pray, Lord, unite my heart. I don't want a divided heart. I want a united heart that follows entirely, completely after God. That's how we ought to pray. It's natural to have that conflict, but pray to God, Lord, help me to live entirely for you, to love you with all my heart. That's what David says here, verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. My heart completely dedicated to the living God. But he also says at the end of verse 11, where he says, unite my heart to fear thy name. And time is drawing on at the moment, but I just pause to speak very briefly about these things, because this always troubles people. Why do we constantly see in the Bible about fearing God? Fearing the name of God. Isn't that a bad thing, to fear somebody? Why does the Bible always say we must fear God? Well, let us understand this in the right way. We don't fear God as though God is somebody who hates us or who wants to hurt us, or who is a tyrant or some sort of oppressor. God is not a tyrant. David has already made it very clear that God is not a tyrant. Verse 5, for example, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. This is not somebody who hates us and seeks us harm. Later on in the psalm, he speaks about how God is full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. So when we read about fearing God, well, let me put it in this way. When we fear God, it is a call to take God seriously. To take God seriously. The Christian faith is to be taken seriously. The Christian faith is not a hobby. It's not simply a trivial thing, just a nice thing that we do on a Sunday. It's not to be taken lightly in that sense. We must have a fear of God. We take it seriously. It's our whole lives. It's at the center of our lives, obeying God, following God. That's what it means to have a fear of God. He is the most important thing in our lives, and we would never change that. We wouldn't dare change that because we have a fear of God. That is what it means, and we must have that fear. The Christian faith talks about serious things. It talks about life. It talks about death. Death is a serious thing, is it not? We will all die one day. We will all come to the end of our lives. That's a serious thing. And then what happens after death? Well, the Bible speaks about judgment. We have to stand before God at the end of our lives, a holy God who hates sin, and we have to give an account of our lives. That's a serious thing. We have to think about that. So these things are serious, and we must seriously seek the way of salvation. If we want to be able to stand in the judgment, stand before God without fear, we must seek the way of salvation that can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus who came down from heaven to earth, he who was fully God and fully man, he is the Son of God, the incarnate God, God made manifest in the flesh. He was like no other. No other man like him before or since. And his death was like no other. When he died, it wasn't like any other death. Wasn't like our death. When he died on the cross, he was receiving a punishment from God. That was his death, his special death, set apart. He was receiving a punishment from God for sin. But it wasn't his sin that he was taking the punishment for. He had no sin at all. It was for the sins of all those who would trust in him. Our sin. He took upon himself the punishment for our sin. He says to God the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I will suffer and die so that they may be forgiven. That's the way of salvation. Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood so that we may be forgiven all our sin. Dear friends, that's very serious. Christ, the incarnate God, has to come and die for our sin. That is so serious. And there are serious consequences if we reject it. So, dear friends, we have to fear God and we have to think of these things very seriously. Come and seek the way of salvation. This is the great plea. Come and seek the way of salvation. If you do, there will be no regrets. There will only be tremendous joy and peace. Read verses 12 and 13 again. These words of David. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name for evermore, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's what happens when you trust in Christ. Your soul has been delivered from hell because Christ suffered your hell for you. And he did it out of everlasting love for his people. That's the measure of his love. So this is the message for this morning. Teach me thy way, O Lord. There are so many different ways you can follow in this world. I don't doubt that, particularly in this modern age. So many opportunities for people. So many possibilities in their lives. So many directions, ways that somebody's life can take. But you know, this way is the right way. This way is the right way. This is the way you are meant to go. The way you're meant to be going. The way that God intends for you to go. It's not always the easy way. I wouldn't delude you in that sense. It's not always an easy way. There are difficulties, yes. But we have great joy in knowing that it's the right way. It's the right way. We're not wasting our time. Every other way that you will take, it's a waste of time. Every other way will end when you die. Every other way that you take in this life, it will come to an end when you die, but not this way. This way is the way everlasting, the way to eternal life. When all the other ways die, this way, that trust in Christ will carry you through death into everlasting life. This has to be the way that you choose. Do not be foolish, dear friends. This is the way that is set before you. Even this morning, you must come and walk in it. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Turn away from falsehood. Turn away from the flattery and the lies of this world. See your sin, but see Christ dying for your sin, so that you may be forgiven all your sin and enter into eternal joy. These things are set before us. May the Lord help us all to receive them. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God and our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that there is this great and eternal, everlasting way set before us. This way that has been purchased for us by the shed blood of Christ. O dear Lord, who are we to reject this way? Help us to walk in that way. Help us, dear Lord, to take those first steps. Teach us how to walk according to thy word. O dear Lord, we come to thee. We know that there is only one way of forgiveness, one way that is worthwhile. So, dear Lord, lead us in that way in repentance and faith. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.